John, since it's Valentine's Day coming up, one of the last things Jesus Christ talks about before going to the cross is this new commandment. And, yeah. Oh, yes. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. We will, and also, while we're talking about it, 2 o'clock is the funeral, but before that there will be food, and after will be food. And Tammy, are you kind of heading all that up? Okay. So afterwards, there will be food, and the fellowship hall will be open. And so that's happening Thursday, 2 o'clock. But yes, let's pray for the Mizell family. All right, Father, I do lift up Ashley and the whole family, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them, Lord, the hope in Jesus Christ and future and the life in Christ and resurrection power, Lord, I pray that be a source of comfort and peace and help. Pray that your grace would be abundant there. And you know, at this time, Ashley's lost both of her parents. And I just pray you'd strengthen her. Lord, for the family, if there's a way to use this to draw them closer to you, and I pray they would, folks in the family would reflect on the life of Jesus Christ, reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the hope, salvation in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd use all that, Lord, to minister to them. Father, thank you for the friends, and I know there's many, many folks that loved their family. I pray they'd be a source of help and comfort as well. And I do pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, along those lines, in John chapter 13, we went over some of this a couple weeks ago when we did the Lord's Supper. And in John chapter 13, this is the last night of right before the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ issues this new commandment, this new covenant, and a new way, somewhat new, that the Father, God the Father, will be dealing with things through Jesus Christ. Christianity is a kingdom of people. And one of the things that seems to get lost in American Christianity is the individual. What gets lost is the community, but the individual aspects of it's your relationship with God. It's your fellowship is the most important thing. And I would say, yeah, that's the most important thing to you. But that's not the most important thing to the Father. Most important thing to the Father is, like Jake and I were talking this morning, but the most important thing to the Father is what he's building in Jesus Christ. And so this holy nation of people and community of kings and priests, in that vein of thought, the Lord gives some instruction. And he gives a little bit of clarity to what's about to happen and then the future of all of this. And he says this in John chapter 13, verse 31, and talking about Valentine's Day coming up and love here, so this is the idea. Verse 31, he says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say I to you. But a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.'" That's the commandment. That's some of the final words Jesus Christ says to the disciples before the cross. And there's a lot wrapped up in this. And I'm going to just be as transparent as I can with you this morning. We, American Christianity, has run over a lot of the concepts of actual Christianity. Things like this love and community for competition, for are you doing your part, are you doing this? It's a very competitive thing. It's become a very divisive thing. And so back to this, back to what we're supposed to be built on here. Jesus Christ gives us commandment to love one another. And there's several thoughts, several things about this that are extremely thematic throughout the Bible, as so many of these things are, that culminate in Jesus Christ. The first thing I notice about this commandment is it's foundational. This is the foundation. Jesus Christ was asked one time, and you guys are familiar with the story, I'm sure, but he's asked one time, all right, what is the most important law in all of the things that Moses wrote and all of the things that, if you could sum the whole thing up, what is the most important thing that Moses said and the law says to us? Anybody remember what Jesus' answer is? Do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And on this hinge all of the law and all of the prophets. This is the thing. So this is the underlying principle on which all the law and the prophets are built. It's kind of like, most of you weren't in Sunday school, but the ones that were, we talked about this, the redemptive words of God. And so this is the foundation. God is trying to reconcile people back to his good way, back to his light and his direction and his guidance and his shepherding. And so love is the foundation. It's the underlying principle on which all the law and the prophets are built. John would say this later on. He would say, we love him because he first loved us. He's the source. And then he says, if he's our master, if Jesus Christ is the master, Jesus Christ is the head, and he loved this way, then we ought to do the same thing. So this is the foundation of the whole thing. And so Jesus Christ, he says several things to his disciples this night in chapters, if you want to go through them, it's John 13, 14, 15, 16. All those are the conversation Jesus Christ has with his disciples that night. He talks about pouring out his Holy Spirit. He talks about hope. He talks about rejoicing. He talks about facing trials. He talks about all kinds of things. He talks about eternal life being the knowledge of God. He talks about, and he prays for not only his disciples, he prays for other people, and that would be Christians, future Christians. He says, I don't pray for the world, but I do pray for you, and I pray for the future people of God, that they would love each other and things like that. So love is foundational. So this is what Jesus Christ is saying to these disciples and virtually really to all of Christianity. A couple other things about love as you go through this. Love has, as we've talked about before, has this measurement. And famous verse, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's the greatest love anybody could have, because that's as much as you can do, is give your life. So this is the measurement. And it tells you that love is measured by sacrifice. And so this is, it's why when you just to be a little bit technical about this, but it's why you go to the Old Testament and the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins, because the animals, though they're innocent, they're not willing. They're not a willing sacrifice. And so Jesus Christ is a man who embodies the will of God and lays down his life, just like Paul would talk about in Philippians 2. And so this is the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ embodies the will of God. And this is what the Lord is measuring love by. This is the epitome of love. This is all of it encapsulated in this man. Jesus would say that right before the cross, not my will, but thine be done. It's all of the laying down of life. And so that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, again, I mean, there's when I think about these things, there's so many verses, there's so many places you can go. Paul talks about this in Philippians 2, and he talks about the Lord laying down, and he has this mindset, and he has a sacrificial mindset to lay down his life and to give up his life. And in doing so, he's highly exalted above every name. And so this is the storyline. This is what Christianity is, and it's based on. Love is measured by what it gives. And then because of that, that leads to something else. People are not just told to sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice and then give up your life just for the sake of giving up your life. And when I say give up your life, it's such a grand idea. It's such a big thing to do, obviously. But it leads to what the thought is, and the what Christianity is. It's new life, and love is the thing that's going to lead to new life. You lay down this old life, and you give, and what you find is new life. This is the idea. And so love leads to this new life. So Jesus Christ would say it this way: except this seed fall to the ground and die, it's not going to ever grow. So what it has to do, it goes down, it falls off the tree, it goes into the ground, and it's buried, and that's the death. And it dies, and from that death you find new life now. Out of this is new life. Peter would say it this way, and he has a long explanation of this. I'm read some of this to you. He says, as you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the true love of the brethren, make sure you love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again. There it is. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Talks about all flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. The word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. But in all of that, he talks about you obeyed the Spirit of God in love, being born again. What is that? That's the seed falling to the ground, dying, and now there's new life. That's what this is, and that's what it leads to. It's measured by sacrifice, because the end of it is going to be new life. That's the idea. You give up ambitions. You give up and you adopt someone else's ambitions, the Lord's ambitions. This is why life has to be lost. But it's not lost in bad things. It's lost in good things. It's lost in what's good. And Peter would equate this really with the spiritual rebirth and a new life. It's not found in you. You die and then this new life comes out of that. Because it can't be in you. That's the self is denied and all of that. And this is what Jesus Christ is saying. This is the way Peter explains. This is the way Paul explains it. But this is what Jesus Christ is saying. I give you this new commandment. This is how new life is going to be in you. Love leads to this new life. And that's the idea, that love would lead to a new life. And then he says, the Lord Jesus Christ had said earlier, he had said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Anybody know what he meant by being lifted up? Cross. If I be lifted up on this cross, I will draw all men to myself. What is this? This is the sacrifice. This is the laying down of his life. And so what he had said a couple chapters earlier, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. This display of love is going to be like a light that draws the bugs to it. You guys see those things on your porch or something at night. You got the light and all the bugs are kind of drawn to the light. That's the idea. This light, this sacrifice would be the light that would draw all men. Now, it wouldn't make all men change, but it would be a light. It would be the thing that people gather around. And so because of that, because it would be the drawing factor of people, Jesus Christ would say in this, he would say, you love one another as I've loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Why? Because this is the way he was going to draw men in the first place. And now he says, if I've loved you this way, you go out in love each other this way. And in the same way his lifting up would draw men, your love will draw people. This is the idea. Why is love evangelism? Just like we said earlier, Jesus Christ had talked about being lifted up. When he's lifted up in his sacrificial giving of his life on the cross, all people would be drawn to this. So this love the Lord commands is, like I said, the light that draws all the bugs to the light. But it's people. It's people. But it makes me think of this, and I'm going to be a little bit critical here because it's incredibly divisive. What has gone on in Christianity against this? The Lord says, I will draw men. This love is evangelism. This is how we evangelize. When people start fighting and competing, and you see a church on every corner, not because people want to be redemptive, but because people can't get along, it's no wonder we have to make up ways to evangelize the world. It's no wonder. It's no wonder we have to create things to evangelize. Jesus Christ told you what the evangelism method was. It's the same thing that drew all men to himself. And then now he passes us on. Here we are 2,000 years later. I read about, and you do too. You read about a Corinthian church that was kind of messed up. And these folks, it seemed like maybe the only thing they agreed on was that Jesus is the Son of God. And they all seem to be under one roof. And they all seem to be, they're sort of trying to figure it out. Paul writes a couple letters to him. One letter is pretty scathing. The next one is like, hey, some of these things have been sorted out. You guys can move on with this. But it's this church, they're maybe the only thing you can find that's a consensus among them is that Jesus is Christ. He's the Son of God. And it's this operating church, and they're doing whatever they're doing back in Corinth. Seems to be growing, all of that. And we're 2,000 years later, and it's very sad. It's very sad when I think of church planting. And I think of, generally you think it's a good thing. I don't know that it's a good thing if you're planting churches because you can't get along with other Christians. And it's no wonder you have to make up ways to evangelize, because we've abandoned the first way of evangelism. The very first thing, what is that? That you love one another. You don't compete against each other. You don't fight about anything. You don't fight about stuff. Or maybe learn the art of conversation, where you can talk things out, where you can learn. Maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe I don't have all the answers. But we can talk about it and figure it out. Or agree to disagree, whatever the case is. We agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Good. We agree that He died for your sins and He rose again the third day. Good. That's good. That's good. But we find so many other things to just fight about and compete about. And it is no wonder. It's no wonder. It's no wonder you have generations of people wondering, what is this about? What is this actually about? What is this thing, Christianity? Who is this God? What is this Bible? What is this about? If you go back to this night, Jesus Christ, and I feel like I have yet to hear a sermon preached about evangelism that dealt with this. That dealt with, hey, get your stuff together. Quit being divisive. Quit fighting about dumb stuff. Love Jesus Christ. Love the people that love Jesus Christ. And this is the way the world sees, okay, there's application to this. There's an actual application to this thing. So what does Jesus Christ say? He essentially says, this is the evangelism. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I don't know, a church on every corner, that may sound good, but it's not good if we're just doing church because we can't get along with each other. That's not good. Oh, no, but we're right. We're right, right? We're the ones that are right. But that's what we all think. That's why you have a proverb that says, look, lean not on your own understanding. You've inherited some ideas. You've got some ideas. And if you're going to preach those ideas, and if you're going to be divisive about those ideas, make sure they're right. And then don't be divisive about them either. This is Proverbs. This is from day one, it seems like. And Jesus Christ, He takes all of this together and He embodies this. And then He says this at the very end of this little conversation here. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So I gave you an example. I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done, and I'm not telling you to do something I didn't show you how to do. By this, verse 35, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Where is that in Christianity? It's almost like, well, Christianity is about me being right. It's about me knowing what's happening in the end. It's about me having the right this and the right that and taking the right stance and being against this and being against that and making sure that I'm right. And Jesus Christ says, no, the way people are attracted to this, the way they understand you have it right, the way they understand that you are following the correct path, it is if you love one another, stop competing for it, stop being divisive about it. Paul would say it this way when he was dealing with the Galatians, because the Galatians were, they're wrapped up in, do we do the law? Are we supposed to go back to Moses? What are we supposed to do? And so they're being divided up among each other by those divisions. Some of these guys are Jewish, some of these guys aren't, and these guys that aren't need to become Jewish, and it's just, and they're all, like Paul said, look, you're just biting and devouring each other, you're just eating each other up, you're creating these lines that God doesn't create. And so what does Jesus Christ, or what does Paul say to the Galatians? He says, look, by love serve one another. That's the positive. That's the thing. Galatians, I think it's at the end of Galatians. John would say it this way. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, love one another as he gave us commandment. That's what you're reading about in this last night here. John would say it in this little letter, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So then the opposite would be true, maybe. The ones who can't figure out how to love one another, the ones who have their favorites, the ones who have their little group, they're not of God. Sounds like what John's saying. If you've marked out the people, this is my group, and I'm with my group, and yeah, I get it, get your group of friends. The common thing that draws people to church, or that should draw people to a Christian community, is that we are all trying to love and serve Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know any of you if it weren't for our mutual desire to at least try to serve Jesus Christ or try to love Jesus Christ. That this is the community. It centers around Jesus Christ. And it centers around your attitude and my attitude about Jesus Christ. John would say, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. His love is perfected in us. That's the idea. So, I know there is, you may not get all of this. You go through the Old Testament, and it may be a little bit difficult to find that love is the basis for the law and the prophets. There's so much destruction, it seems like, and so much criticism and just so much trying to right the ship, so to speak. The prophets are trying to right the ship. They're trying to get the nation on board. They're trying to get the nation to line up with the Lord. They keep trying to get the people in charge to love justice and mercy and follow the Lord that way. And it's a lot of bad stuff, and it's hard. And I get the question that Jesus Christ has asked. What is the main thing? What are we getting at? Moses had said it. Moses had said, this is the point. You love God with your heart. You love your neighbor as yourself. And on this hinges everything. New life springs out of this. A new and better life, a life that's aligned with God's morals and God's wants and wishes. This is what comes out of this. So you get to the New Testament, and it's very clear now. Jesus Christ says, look, this is the commandment. This is the thing I'm passing on to you. Do we live according to the law? It's such a vague question. Because the Lord does give a law before he dies. And he says, this is the law, that you love one another. This is the commandment, that you love one another. What does it do? What is it? Love is these things. It's foundational. It's the basis for Christianity. It's the basis for what God is going to do. In your life and other people's lives, this is what forms the basis. It's measured by sacrifice. It's measured by not my will, but thine be done. And because it's measured by sacrifice, it has to lead to new life. Because you give up one thing, not to just give it up and fall into the abyss of nothing. You give up one thing and you take up this new life. It's where new life is found. This is what Peter says, being born again. Your faith that works by love. That's the idea. And then, because these things are true, love is the evangelism. It's the thing that Jesus Christ, he hangs on the cross and he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. That's the sacrifice. And then he says, now I'm going to pass this on to you. And you do what I've done. And you will draw men to Jesus Christ in the same way. Not turn him away, but draw them. And so Jesus Christ says, this is the commandment. This is the thing. And of all the things he could have said that night, this is what he says. This is what he chooses to say to people about Christianity, about the future of God's dealings with people. It wouldn't be geographic, it wouldn't be racial, it wouldn't be any of those things. It's supernatural, it's spiritual, it's a relationship. And these things transcend all of these material, ways we sort of divide people up sometimes. I mean, we divide them up religiously too. The idea being this, Christianity at the end of the day, it is much simpler than we've made it, but it is much more in depth than we've made it. It's much deeper than we've made it. It's not just about crossing off all the boxes and, yeah, you got the right prophetic understanding, and you got the right this, and you got the right that, and do you understand baptism exactly the way I understand it? And it's a lot simpler than all of that, but it's a lot deeper, and it cuts to the heart, and it gets down to who you are, to who I am. And this is what Jesus Christ is getting at. And so with that said, I love what Paul will say in Philippians. I think I've read it, I don't know how many times, but he would say this and pass it on to the Philippian church, because they're kind of fighting each other. And the fighting each other is hindering the ministry. They had helped him in the ministry, and now they're competitive against each other, making sure you're doing your part. Even though I'm not doing my part, I got to make sure you're doing your part. And Paul says, look, you need to stop that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And how does that start? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's Christianity. That's what it is. This is what Jesus Christ is passing on to people. And so, that said, let's do this. We'll spend a little bit of time. I want you to think about some of these things. I'm not going to preach anymore. I think you understand the point. Jake, you want to come on up? Give us a little meditative time here. Think about this love that Jesus Christ has, and how do you apply it not to your neighbor's life, to your life, not how they're not doing it right, but how can I do it? How can I live this life that Jesus Christ prescribes here? If you want to bow your heads, close your eyes, we'll have a little time to just think about these things. Look up here. God bless y'all for being here. Remember, Thursday is Debbie's funeral here at 2. Afterwards, there'll be food in the fellowship hall. You're welcome to bring food for the Mizell family. And so that's Thursday, 2:00. Let's pray. This time together, I pray that you would help us apply these things to our lives. Things that you said were very, very important. This is the important thing. This is why our Christianity is in shambles. Lord, I pray that you help us make these applications. Get this competitive stuff and critical, judgy stuff out. Learn how to positively love each other, love your people. Pray you do that for us. We've learned it from your words. We see it in your words. We see it's important to you. And for Ashley and for all of her family, Lord, I pray that you'd be a comfort and a help to them. I pray that you would remind them of the hope, resurrection, Jesus Christ. And for anybody that would be mindful of this time, Lord, of Debbie's passing, that you reflect on one day this is going to happen to them. And they consider how to get their lives right before you in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.